Ezekiel chapter 9. Then he cried in my ears with a loud voice. Now, in the last chapter, we've had a vision of Ezekiel being shown all the awful things that were going on in the temple itself. People worshipping the sun, people worshipping idols, burning incense to other gods in the most holy place itself of the temple. So, in that context, he's told, cause those who are in charge of the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. So then, the Babylonians who are outside the gates of Jerusalem are being told to draw near, but it's the angels who are making them draw near, because there wasn't repentance amongst the people who were within Jerusalem. So six men came from the way of the upper gate, which looks toward the north. That's the very gate where he saw in chapter 8 all the awful idolatry going on. Every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man in their midst clothed in linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. Well, I think that man is meant to represent Ezekiel, who is the prophet, the writer, as it were, of these prophecies. He's being shown how powerful the word of God that he's speaking really is. It was his word which was bringing forth these angels. So they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. The glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub upon which it rested to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And I suggest that man represented Ezekiel, the writer, the prophet. Yahweh said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry over all the abominations that are done in its midst. So it reminds me of Lot, who we're told vexed his righteous soul over all the wickedness that was being done in Sodom. And the question is, as we see all the perversion and the wickedness in the world around us, do we sigh and cry over it? Do we just tut-tut at it? Or even worse, are we caught up in it? We've got to really see how awful this stuff is. To the others, he said in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. Don't let your eyes spare, neither have pity. Kill utterly the old man, young man and the virgin, little children and women, but don't come near any man on whom is the mark. Well, the mark was in the forehead, so it refers to a mental attitude that says, my attitude of mind is that I weep for what's going on. Begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the old men that were before the house. He said to them, defile the house and fill the courts with the dead. Go forth. They went forth and struck in the city. While they were smiting and I was left, I fell on my face and cried and said, ah, Lord Yahweh, will you destroy all who remain of Israel in your pouring out of your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perversion. Well, I think the idea is that Ezekiel hadn't realized how bad things were. That's why when he's shown all the wickedness in chapter 8, God keeps saying to him, look, do you see this? Do you really understand how bad this is, Ezekiel? And so he's being told here when he begs to God, will you really destroy all the remnant of Israel? Well, he's told, look, the sin of Israel is very great. So it's a bit like us, that we also can fail to perceive how awful is the sin that is around us. And God says, look, they say that Yahweh has forsaken the land and Yahweh doesn't see. Well, I don't think they said that in so many words, but I think we read in chapter 8 that they were going into the dark rooms of the temple to do their idolatry. And the idea is they thought, well, man doesn't see what I'm doing, so God doesn't see. That was really their attitude, although they wouldn't quite say that. And so we mustn't think that because man doesn't see, your bitter thoughts in your heart about that person and your hatred for her and your cussing of him in your heart, or your bad use of the internet, you're looking at this, that, and the other on screens thinking nobody knows. Sure, maybe no man does know. Nobody can read your heart. But God, of course, does see. We need to, in our spiritual maturity, get to a point where you are totally open before God. So God says, as for me, my eye will not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their behavior on their heads. Behold, the man clothed in linen who had the inkhorn by his side reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me.